Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. Now, I have a bunch of new stuff that I'm planning to do a bunch of giveaways. I really did a few giveaways leading up to Creative South, and I really enjoy just giving away stuff. So go to passionbehindtheart.com to sign up, and I'm going to be doing exclusive shows and giveaways and discounts and just giving back to you awesome people that have been listening to this podcast. Thank you for everyone that purchased a shirt from Cotton Bureau, the podcast shirt from Cotton Bureau. Can't wait to see you guys. Once you get your shirt, like, share a pic with you wearing it, and you may just get something. Matter of fact, you are. So share a pic with once you get your Passion Behind the Art shirt, and something will be on your way. And just hashtag Passion Behind the Art, or tag the podcast handle, which is PBTA Podcast. All right, so let's jump into this week's episode. Another awesome individual.
Here comes, we are getting ready to have Shauna on the podcast, which I'm super excited about. An awesome lettering artist, and I met her through the Slack channel on Creative South, and we are now able to welcome Shauna. Shauna, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. Hang on, I gotta pull this down a little bit. I'm too short.
So, Shauna, welcome to the Passion Behind the Art podcast. I'm glad you made it. Glad to have you on. Like, how did your journey in design start?
Started way, way back when. I was very lucky that my parents were very encouraging when it came to art. So I ended up always having like art supplies. They always kind of pushed me to do my thing. And when I went into high school, I took a computer graphics class, and they had me. They saw that I had like some like raw talent when it came to that. It was my first experience with Photoshop and digital painting and things. And so my dad actually looked at me and was like, "You really ought to look into pursuing graphic design," which was the plan until my senior year. I decided to pursue opera. Went to college for that, but lasted a semester before I switched to graphic design. And then ultimately graduated, got a job, went freelance, and am now illustrating.
So, are you going to sing some opera for us right now?
No. No.
That's amazing. Wow. I'm intrigued. You've got my senses are heightened about this opera journey. So did you do anything with that? Nothing?
No, nothing happened with that. I sang in high school in choir, and it was just like a quick, like, blip in the radar where I thought that's what I wanted to do, and then I realized I don't know music theory and I wasn't catching on to it, and I just wasn't enjoying it. I was sick all the time and I couldn't sing because I was sick and I have sinus issues, which is it impedes a lot. So, and I was increasingly jealous of all the kids sitting around the lake drawing. So
you still have the skill, though. Like, you've developed the skill to be able to, because I figure it's a specific skill to be able to sing opera.
Yeah, but I didn't keep it up, so I can't do it anymore.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So,
it's like drawing. If you don't draw consistently, you don't keep it. Like,
So you pursued graphic design. So how does this lettering thing start? Because it's like, it's one thing to do graphic design, but then if you say you do lettering, it's like a little bit a next tier.
Yes, well, so I always had a love of illustration. Illustration was always there. I saw The Devil Wears Prada in high school, and like I came out of that movie and I was like, I want to do illustrations for magazines. But I didn't know that that was a job someone could do. It never occurred to me that like people did that for magazines, even though I saw them in magazines. And so I did illustration in college. Like, shout out to my illustration professor, Vanessa Cruz. She's actually at this conference right now with a bunch of my UNF students.
Wow.
Not my students, but like UNF students, and my alum is here.
Wow, that's amazing.
And yeah, it's super fun. Like, we finally got them to start showing up here. And but so she's actually a lot of the reason that I do illustration, because she was my professor. She worked in the industry. She showed us the things that she did. And that's kind of when I started to realize, like, this is something I could eventually do. But ultimately, I had an internship at an agency in Jacksonville called Burnett Garcia. And it was there that they realized I was an illustrator before I really realized I was an illustrator. And I've looked back in a lot of my old portfolios, and I did a lot of lettering in college without realizing it was lettering.
Mm.
When I was in school, a lot of it was the, like, very clean, very Swiss look. Like, it was, like, my style was very grungy, very textured, and very opposite of what everyone else was doing. And so at my internship, like, they had me do several illustration projects, and one of them, The World of Foot, which was a poster for an event with Horton Foote's plays, it ended up in ComArt's type annual.
Wow.
I wasn't even a year out of school when that happened.
That's nice.
So that helped launch my career, but it was that project in general that made me realize, like, lettering was a thing. And I just remember sitting there looking on, like, my fans and copying, like, looking and referencing, like, these different typefaces for inspiration and try to figure out different styles to draw. And it was, like, at that time that Jessica Hitch was just starting to come onto the scene with her Should I Work for Free chart. So I started looking at her work, and that sort of opened the wormhole, and I just kind of went down that rabbit hole and never looked back. But ultimately, like, I worked in the field. I after my internship, I got a job in-house at a clothing company, and I, a year later, got a job inquiry from an agency in Orlando that reached out to me and said that we were looking for an art director. We'd be interested in interviewing you. So I went down and I interviewed for that, and I was offered the job a few weeks later, and they wanted me to move down there 3 weeks later and start. They actually wanted me to move 2 weeks later, but I had to quit three jobs because at the time I was working in-house, but I was also working at the ice rink and as a skating coach. So I was maybe sleeping 4 hours a night at that point.
You're a beast.
Well, and I'd come home from work, and I would just start drawing type. Like, I was obsessed. Like, I'd come home and I would sit, and for like 2 hours I'd just continue to draw lettering, and then I'd go to bed and I'd repeat the next day. So unfortunately, like, it was not something I could do when I was working at the ice rink. I was a scorekeeper. So if I started drawing, I would tend to like zone out, and I'd miss like the ref call. So I took up crocheting while I did that, just to keep my hands busy and do something to kind of keep me warm. Because it was the nighttime games, it was really freaking cold. So I ended up, like, going and getting. I took the job in Orlando. I left my best friend. We'd lived together for like 6 years at that point, and it was one of those, like, everything kind of lined up perfectly. So I had to move. And one of our mutual friends was moving back, and so she was able to take over my lease. I was able to completely cut everything off and close my chapter there.
Wow.
And my mom found an apartment in Orlando for me, across the street from the ice rink, and about 10 minutes from where I was going to work. So I got down there, started my job, and they fired me 3.5 months later without any reason. Florida is a state where they don't have to provide you a reason if they don't feel like it.
I think Georgia's the same thing too.
Yeah, which, I mean, it sucks. Like, it would have helped. Yeah. It would have helped knowing at the time why.
Right.
But I was approached a year later when I finally, like, brought it up and admitted it publicly that it happened. Someone wrote to me and they said, do you want to know why? Because I can tell you. And I said, no, the time to tell me was the day it happened. If you knew when it happened, you should have reached out to me then. You know, instead, telling me a year later is not going to help me. It's not going to make me a better person. All it's going to do is cause me to have anxiety and obsess. So I was like, at this point, I don't need to know. And so that is where I kind of dove headfirst into freelance, because I called my mom, and she and my dad hopped in the car and drove as fast as they could to Orlando from Daytona, and they what would take me 10 minutes normally took me 45 minutes to get home because traffic was so bad. So we were sitting there and ended up we were sitting there and I'm just like, I'm gonna start job hunting, and just like in the meantime I'm gonna freelance. My mom looks at me and goes, why don't you just start freelancing now? She goes, give it 6 months. She goes, you didn't come here to job hunt. She goes, give it 6 months. If in 6 months it doesn't work, then you can job hunt. And she's like, and I said, seriously? She goes, yeah. She goes, you know, we'll help you with groceries. You have enough money to sustain you for a few months, but we're going to take care of groceries so that you don't have to worry about that. Like, I'm very fortunate. They were very supportive. She goes, you can work out of this cute little apartment. You can skate when you want. You can make your... You can make your own schedule. You can get a dog. You can, you know. And I looked at her, I was like, I can get a dog. And she goes,
which you did do.
I did. Within 2 months, I had a dog. I just celebrated his 5 year. His 5 year gotcha day was last week.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah. That's awesome. So, how did Creative Self happen? How did you hear about this? How did this happen for you?
So. When I started freelancing, I was freelancing for almost a year at that point when I saw Mary-Kate McDevitt was going to be speaking at Creative South. She had posted about it on Twitter, so I looked up and was like, what is this conference? So I looked it up, and on the roster was like Mary-Kate McDevitt, Nathan Yoder, like all these names that I was just like, this looks amazing. And at the time, it was a newer conference, so the ticket was $80. And so I texted my friend and I said, there's this conference, it's in Georgia, it's only a few hours away, it's $80 for the ticket, and the hotel's super cheap.
What year was this?
This was 2014. I bought the ticket in like 2013, so it was the 2014 conference. And she goes, and she's like, yeah, I'll go, let's do it. We'll make a trip out of it. I said, all right, let's do it. And so it was her, myself, and then two of our friends that worked at a local web design company. And they, we all carpooled up, and we had a fantastic time. And it was, at that point, it was like maybe 200 people, maybe. But I remember walking into it. There was, you know, it wasn't no bridge party, nothing. It was just like an alley. Lenny was on stage performing. I ran into Peter first, because Peter and I had been talking on Twitter because of his Design Versus Cancer campaign.
Right.
And so he spotted me, and we said hi, we introduced each other, and the mic comes up and just gives me a bear hug, and he says, welcome to Creative South, and off he went. And I was like, I think I might like this. Yeah, and if anyone doesn't know, like, Mike gives the best hugs. So she and I, we had the best time. So the next year, I was asked to speak. So my second year, I spoke, and the year after that, I attended, and then the following year, my math might be a little off, because I'm pretty sure this is my fifth year attending, but I taught a workshop last year, and I've come back every year. I will never miss this conference. I love it.
Yeah, that's the truth. We've literally put it in our budget at home, like,
yeah,
groceries, Homeowners Association, Creative Self is, yeah, a block in the budget. Like, it will.
It's one of the best conferences I think one can attend, especially if you live in the South, because it's so accessible. Like for me to get here, it's about a 6 hour drive, which if I were to fly, it's the exact same amount of time. So I opt to drive, because then I have my car and I'm able to take the last day. I leave on Sunday, and but I'll go to like Iron Bank and I'll sit with people and I'll just chit chat and we'll just enjoy each other's company for a few hours, and then I can get on the road whenever I need to.
Exactly. So what's next? What are some of the exciting things that's brewing in your creative mind?
Are you talking like events coming up, or like
events or just things that you plan to do?
Well, right now I'm doing the 100 day project, which I did Inktober back in October, and that was, I did 31 days of matchbooks. So I created like fake matchbook designs, which was really fun. And so I was like, I'm gonna go for the 100 day project. So I'm doing 100 days of boxcar graffiti.
Yes, I think I saw that. Yep, I saw that.
And right now on Instagram, it looks like I'm a few days behind, but I actually have all up to today done. I just haven't taken the time to actually sit and post them, because I have to sit and format them, and it takes, like, I have to set my computer up and actually do it. So, it looks like I'm behind, but I really am not. I'm actually keeping up with this project. But I'm doing that. And then I'm not sure necessarily if it's public knowledge yet, but I'm going to be in San Francisco the first week of May, and I'm going to be on Adobe Live.
Nice.
So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, look at it. We got a superstar in our midst, y'all.
I'm very excited, and I'm so excited because I tacked on a few extra days because I've never been to San Francisco, and if I travel, I try to coordinate my vacations with work, which some people say don't make your vacations your work, but a lot of times I've been very fortunate that I travel and I'll go places I've never been before, so I'm able to tack on a day or two extra. And it's not, I don't really look at it as like a vacation, but if I'm going somewhere I've never been, like I want to explore. So I've never been to San Francisco, so I'm going to stay a few extra days. I'm going to go, I want to go to the Walt Disney Family Museum. I live 30 minutes from Disney, but I'm going to go to the Walt Disney Family Museum when I'm in California.
Yeah.
My friend that we went, the one that came with me the first year at Creative South, she lives out there, works at Facebook now, and so she and I are... And she and I are very excited because, we don't really get to see each other anymore because we're across the country.
She's looking forward to that, huh?
Oh, I'm too. The second I got the email, I texted her and I was like, you're not going to believe this, because she's been trying to get me out there for months. And I've said, if I can make it happen and I can work trip it, heartbeat, I will be there.
So that was my next question. How does that even happen? How does that even come about?
I used to stream on the Adobe channel on Twitch. So, I'm a Twitch creative streamer. Okay. We actually have a few of us here.
Right.
My friend Leon, Mudflap Official's here, and my friend Erica's here. She's Erica Cotton on Twitch, and we're all creative streamers. And so I was approached by Adobe to do lettering on their channel. So every Thursday, I had a 3-hour block where I'd go on their channel and I would stream.
Oh, sweet!
And that lasted about 6 months before they finally stopped, and then they moved their whole platform over to Behance,
because right.
So everything's on Behance Live. So I've sort of been silently vying to get on Adobe Live for months now, and so I know Rocky Rourke has been on, Peter Del Tondo's been on. I have a few friends that have been on, and I found out that every time they've asked for recommendations from those people, they've been recommending me, and so.
Nice.
They finally reached out to me and they invited me to come on. So I got the email a week and a half ago, and I flipped out. I was so excited. I still am.
It was they heard your name a few times. Come on, guys. There's a hint. There's
a hint. So I'm really excited, and I'm excited to explore San Francisco. I'm excited to see my friend. I'm gonna get to go. I get to go tour Facebook while I'm there. So I'm looking forward to it. And I've got this massive list of recommendations of places to go. But when last year I went to Vegas twice for work.
Okay.
One was for work. The other was for Adobe Max, which was really fun.
Oh, nice.
But I went to, because of my job, I've had the opportunity to explore Vegas. I've gone to New Orleans, and I've gone to Madison, Wisconsin. That was the first one I ever went to, first place I ever spoke. And it couldn't have been more perfect, because I love the Midwest. My family lives in the Midwest. My parents are in Chicago now. And I've always been a Midwesterner at heart. That's where they grew up there. I spent Christmas in Chicago growing up. And so getting to speak in the Midwest for the very first time in, I think it was 2013, I think was the first time I spoke, was fantastic. And we got fantastic weather. I got to see the trees changing. It's really fun when you get to go somewhere where your football team isn't ridiculed. Because I'm I'm in a family where it's Bears and Packers fans, and I can't really pick sides because it's 50-50.
Yeah, that's when you talk about a rivalry, that's a
very
rivalry.
Much, very much so. And so I go to Chicago and I get to see there's Bears paraphernalia everywhere, which I love because you can't find that in Florida. And when I was in Madison, it was Packers stuff everywhere. And at the time, my cousin was pregnant with her baby, her first baby. And they are diehard Packers fans. They have season tickets and everything. So diehard Packers fans. And so I was walking around at these shops because, I was there for 36 hours. It was boom, 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 gone. Because I had to go to Disney on Ice, and I was not going to miss that. And So I ended up finding this one of those little board books, and it was my first Packers book.
Wow.
So I texted my mom, and I was like, I'm getting this for Anna, and I'm going to mail it when the baby's born. So it was fun to, like, find something that I knew that she would like.
Wow. Like, listen, we don't have a lot of time, but you just started hitting my sweet spot. When you started talking about sports, like, the antennas started going off because I love sports. But as we were getting ready to close, what advice would you have for creatives out there?
For creatives in general, just, you know, be a good person, be nice. I just gave a talk on this at UCF, and I think the biggest thing is, like, be authentic, you know, don't network, make friends. You know, I hate when people use the term network. I hate when people are, you know, they try to use you to get to somebody else. Like, if you want to meet somebody, be authentic and be friends. Yeah. Because if I know somebody that's, if I know someone, like, I don't do UX UI stuff. If I know someone that does UX UI, I don't even know, have to know what their work looks like. If I trust that person, I will recommend them. You know, and I've had people use me before, and it's one of those cases of, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And I've had it to the point where it's been shame on me because I've let it happen too much. So, but what a lot of people don't realize, and especially young creatives, is that we can tell when you're not being authentic. We can tell when you're trying to use us. And they may think they're being sly, but you're not as sneaky as you think. Because we've all been in those situations, and we've had it happen enough times that we know the signals, we know the signs. So
the funny thing is, our job is just to see the details. So
yeah, and you know, I'm, like I said, I've told people before, because everyone laughs at me here, because people are like, God, you know everybody, and I'm like, no, I've been here a lot, I've made a lot of friends, but I always say, I'm like, I want my friends to know all my friends. Like, I want all my friends to be friends with my friends. Like, I just want everyone to meet everybody. And
you know who you sound like? Diane Gibbs.
Oh, very much. Yes. And that's the thing, you know, like, and so many of these people, like, a lot of people, these people I only know online, and we meet here, and we finally meet in person, and, like, it's so authentic, and it's
like
so genuine.
It's like you get to interact, like, between the year span online, and it's like when you get to see each other in person, it's like this reunion. It's like
it is,
and you're wondering, like, someone will on the outside would be looking like, have y'all met before? It's like, no, we never met. We just
talked
online. But
there's so many friendships that I have that started purely online. I, like, my first Creative South, Danielle Evans was speaking. She and I had interacted on Instagram. We were mutual follows and stuff, but we'd never really talked outside of that platform. And I saw she was getting ready to speak, and I was going to miss her talk. So I messaged her. I said, good luck on your talk. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it. I'm doing Tight Fight. And she goes, oh, come find me after. I'm wearing yellow pants. And she finished her talk before I finished my Tight Fight. And all of a sudden, I hear, Shauna! And I turn around, and she's waving at me. And so we, an immediate friendship, and we talk almost, I mean, at least once a week we talk. And like last year I FaceTimed her into the conference because she couldn't make it. This year I'm going to FaceTime her in. And so
awesome.
It really is like it's a family reunion.
That's awesome. So where can people go to learn more about what you're doing?
They can go to shaunalynn.com, shaunalynn, or they can find me at Shauna Parmesan on Instagram and Twitter.
Well, guys, that's the amazing Shauna. Thank you for coming on the Passion Band Art Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Shauna. Well, guys, as I get ready to zone out, thank you for this opportunity, Creative Self, for having Passion Band Art live at Creative Self.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Go to passionbandart.com to learn more about what's going on. And to be a part of the Facebook group, the giveaways, and much more. Especially the in-depth shows that's coming up. Those will be exclusive shows. They'll be very in-depth to a particular subject matter. Alright, so go to passionbandart.com. Be blessed.